Good morning, Pine Lake family. I'm grateful to be with you today, whether you're online with us or whether you're in the room. Happy New Year. Already been an incredible morning of worship. Already been an incredible personally kickoff to the new year, personally for myself. But you get in these rhythms and then in these holiday traditions, right? We're finished with the holidays, and I've probably had half a dozen to a dozen conversations today with some of you and folks out in the community over the last week that typically this is the way the conversation starts. Hey, how are you? And then what comes next? Now, look, I'm a student pastor, and so you're going to have to play along, right? You know, this is, I need a little bit of help in the room. Hey, how are you? What comes next? How was your holiday, right? That's typically, if you hadn't had that conversation, talk to me after, because that's just that's my default right now. You know what I'm saying? You got a default that you say, hey, how's it going? And then you just, you kind of roll on through. And so I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. I was at a coffee shop, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. We moved back to this area a little over a year ago, and so we had just reconnected. And he asked the question. He said, well, how was your holiday? And I gave him the typical default answer, but really the true answer of, man, it was good. It was a great week, and we've got young kids, and it was fun to watch them experience the holidays. We had good. What about you? And he said, oh, man, and he said something like this. He said, well, it was good to see it come, but it's good to see it leave, too. And he said, but I'm about to celebrate my favorite holiday tradition. And New Year's was like a day and a half away, and I said, oh, okay, great. Well, y'all shooting fireworks? He said, no, it's called Return Day. You ever participated in Return Day? Don't, if you're sitting by your spouse, don't answer that question, right? You know, I don't, but this is what Return Day is. Basically, he would take all the stuff he didn't want back to the store and he would go get money back. Now, I don't celebrate Return Day for two reasons. One, my family's in the room right now and I'm certainly not going to admit that I would celebrate Return Day with them in the room. But two, they did a great job this year. Like, we had a great holiday season and it was fun. But everybody knows that there are a couple of kinds of gifts, right? There's good gifts, and we're not going to say the word bad around the word gift, especially sitting amongst family and friends. There's not so good gifts. Can we say that? Can we just say there's not so good gifts? So good gifts, when we think about good gifts, and hopefully you received a good gift. If you didn't, stay tuned because we're going to talk about one in just a second. I received a lot of good gifts. Practically through a series of crazy events, I had an opportunity to take my son along with some other family members to the Liberty Bowl. Fans showed up. The team was there. It was a great experience. That's about all I can say about it. We had fun. He had a blast. It was so much fun to be there with him and my family. That was a good gift. My wife surprised me. I genuinely had no idea that was coming. And so that was a great gift in my life that I got to have that opportunity with my son. But I've had not so good gifts before, right? And here's where I mess up, but I've learned. I'm going to give you a pro tip. This is free right here. You can have this. You can take this back. You don't have to say, Ben gave me this. This is now yours. You got to be stoic upon opening the gift because you don't want to be like, yeah, oh, it's a pair of socks that was broken up by a three-pack and split amongst my brother-in-laws. That's never happened to me. Except for once. But it was, you know, you want to like kind of be stoic upon the unwrapping and you kind of have this look and then it's like, oh, a pack of socks. So you can muster it, or, oh, a bowl game, or for some of you out there, I saw the pictures, oh, a new Lexus, you know, those kind of things that you get. You know, even that, you can just kind of be stoic through it and then you can get, but every not so good gift could get better if you have one little sheet of paper attached to it. Does anybody know what that one little sheet of paper attached to the not so great gift is? The gift receipt, the receipt, that's exactly right. That gift just got a little bit better when you're digging in the bag and you're pulling out the Santa tie that you only wear once a year or never, or it's not clip-on and so many of you can't even use it anyways. And then you see the little gift receipt and you're like, ding, 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 I can go to my local big box store and I can go get a little bit of money back. Here's the deal though. Here's the deal. If we're being honest, we've all participated in both of those actions, more than likely. You've had the gift that you're like, this is fantastic and couldn't be better. I've had many of those. And you've had the gifts that are just not so good, right? And I'm not going to answer that question if I've had many of those or not. But because I haven't, right? But we've all had those experiences. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. And we're going to turn the corner just a little bit because, y'all, we're over 24 hours into the new year. Some of you have set resolutions and you've already broken them. It's time to hop back on the wagon. Some of you are still wondering what your resolutions are. And man, we would love for you to engage in God's word and let that be a New Year's resolution with you. I'm going through the one-year plan personally as a part of our L3 plans. And so if you want to jump in with me, more than welcome to jump in with me. And let's talk about it throughout the rest of the year. I know a lot of folks are going through the chronological plan or the story plan. This is a great resolution to have to dive into God's word. There are great things to do to make your heart, to set your heart in front of you and to make it be set on the things above and not the things of this world. And in the terms of gifts, and I'm going there, right? God has given us a perfect gift, a gift that doesn't need a receipt, and a gift that is not only receivable, not only can you have it, but my hope and my prayer is that you see that you can also deliver it as well. It's deliverable as well. Here's when I speak in front of our teenagers and I get the opportunity to talk to them, whether it's a group of a few in a small group or whether it's a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or anything in between, one of the things I always say, and we have teenagers in the room and they know where I'm going with this, is that our prayer and our hope for you is that today, right, as we're gonna open God's word together, that you get to know Jesus for either the very first time, or you get to know him like never before. Because there are two people in the room today. There are folks that know Jesus, and there are folks that don't. And our prayer, we're begging, we're going to pray in just a second, is that you get to know Jesus today if you don't know him, and that you know that the gift that God has for you, it's receivable today. So turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to dive right in. We're going to talk about this gift together just a little bit. And my hope and my prayer is that as we experience this, that you would see that the gift that God has for you, that yes, you can have it, but you need to give it away too, right? It's deliverable and it's receivable. As we look at the book of Galatians, it's written by Paul in the Bible. He's written tons of letters, Pauline letters, as they're recorded. And typically, I'm going to give you just a little bit of backstory as you're turning there. If you're online, you can go grab a Bible real quick, or it's going to be right here on the screen with me, and I'll read it to you from the ESV version. Typically, Paul starts a letter with some warm greetings, some warm thoughts, and some thanks be to God for you, or he talks about folks in his past that have been there for him. And he kind of doesn't mince words starting this letter right here to the churches in Galatia, because the gospel is under attack. Right, as we dive into the book of Galatians, and we're going to actually pick up in chapter 4, we look at chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we see that Paul immediately proves his credibility from God, right? He's wanting you to, in chapter 1, he wants you to see that everything he is came from the Lord. He talks about the idea that he doesn't have time to give warm greetings. He shows the value of faith. The verse in chapter 3, I've been crucified, or chapter 2, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Showing that he doesn't have to have these status symbols in his life. And so now we get to this idea in chapter 4, and let's read this together, starting in verse 1. Then we're going to pray about it, and then we're going to dive in. Verse 1 in chapter 4 says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under the guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time, and praise God for that fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And we'll wrap up with verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Father, I pray that you would speak through your word today. God, I pray that everything that's said and done would be for your glory. Father, I pray that we would see that the gift that you have for us, it's perfect. Father, it's better than a new car or new clothes or a new house or anything of sentimental value that we would have here in this world. And God, it's just for us. But God, we don't just keep it, God. We share it with others. And I pray that we see both of those things. Help us to get to know you for the very first time or get to know you like never before in the room today. In Jesus' name, amen. So in chapter 4, as we're diving right into chapter 4, Paul starts with this idea of sons and heirs. Sons and heirs. And he kind of goes off the top rope a little bit on you. He says, you know, I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, he's no different than a slave. Now, if you're in the churches of Galatia and you're reading this, you probably lean in when this is being read over you a little bit. Wait a second, hold on. That what dad has is mine, right? That kind of moment that you have. Make no mistake, I showed you the picture of my son. We have a 4-year-old daughter and an 8-month-old daughter too. Y'all pray for us, please. But at the end of the day, the house that they live in, the stuff that they have, it's absolutely theirs, but they ain't paid the house note yet. Moms and dads, can I get an amen? Right? They're just kind of living under our roof. That doesn't mean that we walk around and say, you know, knock on the door before you come in. No, they're owners of that place and they're heirs. And whatever God lets Jordan and I leave behind, they're going to be the next in line because they're ours. And it's really an honor that God has entrusted my wife and myself to be over these children, right? To grow them in the grace and glory of Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Peter, that we get the opportunity to love them and to shepherd them. But make no mistake, they ain't paid a bill yet as a 5-year-old and a 4-year-old and an 8-month-old. But that's the way it goes, right? I was a student ministry in Southwest Mississippi for a long time before I came here to Pine Lake. And there was a teenager in my student ministry, and his parents really kind of leaned into this idea, probably a little too much if I had to guess, but I laugh at this story all the time, so I'm going to share it with you. So the teenager had received a truck from his dad, and he would make these comments. I've heard him before, and I'd heard the response before. He'd say, well, I'm gonna take my truck up to town, and I'm going to go, because, you know, we're in the country in Southwest Mississippi, and so we would go to town. If you're wondering what go to town means, ask somebody wearing boots beside you. They'll tell you all about it in just a minute. But he would say, I'm going to take my truck and I'm going to go to town. And his dad, Billy's his name, Billy would say, excuse me, you're going to take whose truck? And he'd barely roll his eyes and he'd say, I'm going to take your truck. You know, yeah, that's exactly right. You're going to take my truck. And he'd say, hey, I'm gonna take my truck to church and I'm gonna go eat lunch after. You're going to take whose truck? And it was round and round. And I heard this often and I didn't really think anything of it. And finally, the kid, he mustered up enough courage and he went to his dad and he said, Daddy, because that's how you speak in the country as well. Daddy. And he said, I'm about ready for that to be my truck. And the dad, he was quick on his feet. Now, I'm going to write this down and I'm going to use it on my own kids. So y'all be ready, kids. You know, he said, oh, thank goodness. He said, I was getting so sick and tired of paying that note and paying for that insurance and putting some gas in. And I think it's like $360 a month for the note. And I think insurance about $85. And based on the guy, I bet you just give me $500 a month and we'll just call it even. And that's going to be your truck. And Bailey, without skipping a beat, he said, hey, where do you want me to park your truck? In the garage tonight or where do you want it? It ain't his, right? It's not his. And there are moments when we were sons and heirs where it was not ours, right? Before Christ, those of you that are alive in Christ, this kingdom of God that we're talking about, it wasn't ours, right? Pre us seeing the evidence of God, as we just sang a minute ago, it wasn't ours. Not only that, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. Mom and dad, you got rules at home, right? Those may change when you were a kid. Those change when you become an adult a little bit. My folks, and they're good for this, by the way, good job by my parents, but they used to make me eat breakfast every morning. And I realize now I don't eat breakfast, right? I didn't eat breakfast. This is probably a bad habit, and the health coaches in the room are going to try to see me after this. I'm sorry. I just don't. I love breakfast for dinner, and so if you invite me over for dinner, I would love to have breakfast, but I don't want breakfast in the morning. I wake up early, and I want coffee, and I want water, and that's about all I want. And So I would, but every morning as a kid, I had to eat breakfast. It was just natural, and I wasn't defiant about it. I just knew it was coming. My parents would come and wake us up before we went to school, my brother and I, and breakfast would be ready on the table. And so I'm assuming something like deep down in my heart, I'm not negative about it. I just don't eat breakfast anymore. Maybe I never liked it to begin with. And so now it's just, I don't eat it. But the elementary principles as a kiddo, I eat breakfast all the time. You know why? Mom and dad told me. Some of the things you do as a teenager, I hear this all the time. I'll never do that when I'm becoming an adult. Good, right? Some of those things you can. But if they tell you, like, bathe and you're getting mad at yourself, continue that habit. That's a good habit to keep. Or personal hygiene, brushing your teeth. We have to remind our kids. It's elementary principles. We have to remind our kids to brush their teeth. Anybody over 30, we need to talk if you had to be reminded to brush your teeth this morning. Right? That's just kind of natural. But as elementary principles are set, there are things that we just kind of have to hold your hand through. And that's what Paul is showing to these Galatians. That, hey, there are things that you did not know. There are things that you had not heard. There are steps that you had not taken. But then verse 3 comes. But when the fullness of time had come, when the time was right and was absolutely perfect. We throw that word perfect around all the time. Hey, how was your break? Oh, it was perfect. How was your steak? Oh, it was perfect. How'd you get it cooked? Medium well. It wasn't perfect, right? How was dinner last night? How was the movie? How was that experience? It was perfect. And we know deep down in our heart that we're really just kind of overusing that word, because when we really think of perfection, that means that God, the creator of the universe, lean in with me just for a second and think about this with me. The creator of the universe found the perfect time, the perfect place, the fullness of time, not a minute sooner, not a minute later. You hear it all the time. I've heard Chip say it himself up here. God is rarely early, but he's never late. Rarely early, but never late. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. We've been talking about that all last month. It was leading into the Advent season, leading it up to Christmas. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus came for two reasons, right? Two reasons that I want you to lean in with me. He created a purpose, first and foremost. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons and as daughters, so that we had an opportunity to receive adoption through Jesus Christ. Adoption's super important in my extended family and in my family. My in-laws, as long as I've known them, when I was just trying to date Jordan, she told me no a lot, but finally she said yes. When I was just trying to date Jordan, her parents have been fostering children the whole time I've known them, for almost over a decade now. That's just what they do, right? I came into the family knowing that was really an expectation, is that the Bible really gives that as a mandate for you, and so doggone it, that's what we're going to do too. And so I just kind of learned that, right? That was just part of it. I remember we were living in the Jackson area when Jordan was in college. I was working in Madison, and her parents are from Southwest Mississippi. And so she had to go home for a minute. And I said, well, I'd love to drive you there. I'd love to spend a little time with you. And so we drove up, and there was a little kid playing in the backyard. And I asked my mother-in-law, I said, who's that? And he said, oh, he's coming to live with us for a little while. I'm like, okay. That was just natural, right? And the idea of fostering kids, they've been, Jordan's youngest brother and sister have been with them for goodness, a little over 6 years now. And I can remember they were always a part of the family, right? But there was just this element of them being a part of the group. They were in pictures. We celebrated Christmas. We celebrated birthdays, all of those things. But they were a part of the group. There was still something missing. April makes 3 years, though, that they got their name changed to Jordan's maiden name. They were adopted. They were brought into the family full on and focused in to that unit. They were adopted. For you that trusted Christ, whenever that was for you, if you go back to that moment in your life or in your heart, that moment, everything changed for you. You were no longer a part of the group. You were a part of the family. Can I say that again? You weren't a part of the group. You weren't just a part of the unit here. You didn't just have a seat at Pine Lake or whatever church home that you have if you're visiting with us, or here in the community if you're watching online. You weren't just a part of the group, and then at the end of the day you left and you went about your merry way. You were a part of the family, a little bit bigger than Pine Lake. The kingdom of God, right? The kingdom became a part of you. He created a purpose for you and I to become sons and to become daughters, for us to know that we have an opportunity to carry the name of Jesus everywhere that we go, to know that the name of Jesus reigns supreme over us, that we don't have to pick other things because Jesus has given us an opportunity to choose him, right? For us to seek and say, God, I trust you and I need you and I want you a part of my life. We've become sons, we've become daughters, we've become adopted. And so that means that as we're carrying the name Jesus, what we have is way better. And so we don't need to cling to depression because Jesus is better. We don't need to cling to shame because Jesus is better. We don't need to cling to loneliness, if you brought that in the room, because Jesus is better. You don't need to cling to addiction, to hopelessness, to anything else, because Jesus is better. And you get an opportunity as a son and as a daughter with the purpose that he created for you and for me. This is not just for the churches in Galatia. For you and for I, we've been given an opportunity to take that mantle, to say, God, I trust you. He created a purpose, but he didn't only give us a purpose in this life. Purposes matter. Purpose means that tomorrow matters. It means that your relationships matter. It means that your speech and your conduct matter. The purpose of you getting an opportunity to carry the name of Jesus with you everywhere you go, it matters. It matters big time. But he also gave us a place. He gave us some real estate. There are no rental fees in the kingdom of God, because the moment that you said, I'm in, God, I trust you with everything that I am and everything that I do, I call upon the name of Jesus. I need you to forgive me of my sins. I'm nothing without you. You immediately staked your place in the kingdom of God. You're an heir. There's no more living a life of wondering, where do you belong, or where do you go, or do I have a family to fit in with? Do I have a place to call home? You do. And it's a kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. The Bible says it better than I could. Because you are sons of God, he sent the Spirit, his Son, into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir through God. That means that real estate for you, it's coming, right? It's here. It's for you, right? It's not a, well, you need to continue to grow up before we give this to you, right? There's no, when you get saved, right? When you trust Christ with your life, there's not a moment when you come walk up front and we say, well, hey, look, let me get an attendance record that you have for you. Or how about a giving record do you have? We don't ask you for those things. When you say, I'm ready, we say, welcome to the family. Welcome to the kingdom when you're talking to somebody. Because the Bible speaks to that, right? He didn't give us a set of rules and regulations to step through. He said that if anybody would trust Christ with their life, would proclaim that Jesus is Lord and confess their sins to him, he or she may be saved. And that gives you a place. That gives you an opportunity to be an owner. I remember living in a rental house some time ago, right after Jordan and I got married, and we had to do things like write into the landlord if we could paint. And there was an ugly yellow room that was in, I mean, like, you know, yellow's pretty, but this was not pretty, right? But it was, we had to write in, hey, could we paint this? And they told us no. We were like, how dare you? Tell us no, you know? But it was like, oh yeah, we don't own this place. We just rent it. And so we didn't paint. We didn't paint it. I had to think about that for a second. We didn't paint it. We obeyed. Didn't break the law. But as a renter, right, you have to ask. You have to request. But you're not renters in the kingdom of God. You get to be an owner. The kingdom is for you. And the kingdom is for me. This is a big deal as Paul is writing this to the churches in Galatia for a main purpose. If you go back and you look at the Old Testament time, because the Galatians, they believed and they had been told that they must be related to the descendants of Abraham through the observance of the law, right? The Old Testament law, they had to be descendants through the observance of the law in order to inherit the promises that God has for you. But Paul is taking this to another level and said, not so. Because through faith, there's an opportunity for you to be a part of the family of God. Through faith, there's a place for you and there's a place for me in the kingdom. There's an opportunity for us to step into what God has for us right here and right now. There's the fullness of time has come. The fullness of time is here. Jesus has come. Jesus came, born of a woman, born under the law, and given us an opportunity at salvation because of what he did on the cross for us, for you and for me, so that we are no longer slaves, but sons. And then if we're sons, we're an heir through God. Opportunity, ownership, to move forward. A gift that's receivable, a gift that is for you and a gift that's for me. But if you know Jesus in the room, there's a responsibility that's taken to the next level. Because this gift is not only receivable for us, it's deliverable from us as well. See, you have an opportunity to share everything that you know, whether you've been saved for minutes, days, weeks, months, years, or decades, whether you're 4, 40, or anything on either side of that, if you know Jesus and he has saved you, if you've said the creed, if you've said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of the living God, he's my risen Lord and Savior, you have a responsibility, church. You have a responsibility to share with everybody that you know. You don't just keep the gift of God, you share it as well. Because in the fullness of time, he came. That's the gospel. He came, he lived a perfect life. He taught us a lot of incredible things, a lot of incredible teachings. He did a lot of incredible things. We call them miracles. And then at the perfect time, God's time, Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and for me and died a brutal death that was rightfully ours. So that we would have an opportunity to be an owner in the kingdom of God. And if you trust that and if you believe that, then you have a responsibility, church. I have a responsibility to take every opportunity that we have, whether it's 1, 100, or 1,000, every opportunity that you have to say, hey, God has a plan for you. He loves you. He is for you. He's not against you. Jesus came for you, and opportunities are out there. They're out there for you. That same town in Southwest Mississippi that I was a student pastor in, I also, and I believe this restaurant might be in heaven. The Bible doesn't speak to this, but there was a Taco Bell that I frequented all the time. Judging by the way I look, I'll come outside of the pulpit just for a second. You know that I love Taco Bell. I do. I'll go with you after lunch. Who knows? Actually, I don't know. We're having some other lunch. But I love Taco Bell. And I went all of the time to the Taco Bell in the town that I served in. So much so, and y'all, this is not cool. I'm not cool anyways. As a student pastor, I should be cooler than I am. I'm just not. My wife reminds me of that all the time. And any cool I have, you give her credit because she made me cool and she makes me cool. But I went to this Taco Bell in town and I was in the drive-thru. And the lady said, just a second. And I said, okay. And so I kind of looked down and probably picked my phone up because I wasn't driving. And so I'm sitting there for a second. And she says, hey, you want your usual? That's not okay to have a usual at Taco Bell either, by the way. That's cool at a coffee shop, right? Or maybe like a Whole Foods market, like where like they got the groceries already ready for you, or a Panera Bread. That's not cool at a Taco Bell, right? And so I kind of tried to change my voice a little bit. I'm just being honest with you. I was like, ma'am. And she was like, you want your usual? I'm not going to tell you my order, y'all. But she called out my order. And I was like, I do. And she said, well, pull on around. And so I did. And so I asked her, I said, I have to know, how did you know what my usual was? And she said, you're here all the time. And I was like, oh, I know. And so then we struck up a conversation. There was a local community college in town. And this is what struck me, y'all. This is what struck me. She asked me, she said, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a student pastor. And she said, oh, thank goodness. How long have you been at that church? And I've been there a while. And I told her, and she said, I've been wondering where there would be a good church that I could go to. And y'all, at first we kind of laughed. I was like, oh, my church would love you. And then as I drove off, it kind of hit me. She knew me well enough to know my order, but I took no time to know her or to share any hope that I had in Jesus. And praise God for the obedience that she has in the Spirit. She's still serving at that same church right now. But man, I could have missed it. I could have missed it. I'm an owner. I'm an heir, and I could have missed it. How many of those stories do we have in the room? Because that's not my only one. As 2022 is here, my hope and my prayer is that we don't miss them. And that we move into each and every day with an expectant heart that God has something for you and he has something for me. And that we would not just kind of stake our claim in the kingdom and just kind of push it to the side, but that we would live in the fullness of what God has for you and what God has for me. Because this perfect gift is not only receivable, but it's deliverable as well. You know, as we wrap up, I think of this idea. I'm a big examples guy. I have to have examples personally. And so if examples work for you, maybe this has been working for you. But the idea of just kind of knowing what to do but not doing it. This summer we moved to a neighborhood with a pool, and my kids love the pool and they love to swim, and my oldest kind of knows how to swim. He's done the swimming lessons thing, but you know, clearly we're still keeping a very watchful eye on him, and we know where they are, and no running around the pool. We have all those rules, right? Elementary principles, you know what I'm saying, as we read about a minute ago. But we have all those rules and regulations for them and things that they're supposed to do. But there's a water slide at our pool in our neighborhood. And so my son was fired up, you know, I'm going to go off the water slide. And do it, man, go do it. And I'm going to go sit down in the bottom and wait on you. And so he would get up to the top and he would look the first couple of times, and he'd kind of go right back down the stairs. And it's like, are you in? You in? Like, you know, I'm right here, man. I know. I'm good. You know, and then he'd go play, and he would jump, and he's pretty fearless, you know, but he would kind of do his own little thing. I'm going to go do it. Maybe it was the next day. I'm going to go do it, because we were there a lot, you know. And so he'd go back up and it's, come on, man, you can do it. I got you, man. I've got you. I'm right here under. And it's that dad moment, fellas. You know what I'm talking about? If you're a father in the room, where it's like, you can do it, and I know you're going to do it, right? And then he would just kind of back off until finally one day he sits down to the edge. And I kept, like, it was nothing inspirational that I said to him. I would love to say that it was. I would love to say that I kind of pulled him to the side and, you can be a champion, son. You can do this. And I didn't. You know, I missed those opportunities and those moments. But it was just, he just did. He went for it. He went all the way down the slide. And he goes into the water and he plunges up and he's looking. And I'm right there for him. And I was like, what'd you think? And he said, that was awesome. That was awesome. And now he doesn't stop. Like, now we're like, no, we're not doing the slide. Like, we've already done it 443 times. You know, it's like, praise the Lord for winter where we don't have to go, you know, but right now, but I can't wait. The slide's coming back later. How many of us in the room have been at the edge of something in life? You know what you need to do. You know the fullness of time has come. Come on, how many people are sitting there right now and know that I just need to step off? I believe God is there for me. I know He is, but I don't know what it is in your heart. I don't know, is it shame? Is it guilt? For me, in that moment, it was awestruck wonder to think God can know everything that I've done and still choose me. And the answer was yes. So for those of you in the room, do you need to receive the gift of God today? Maybe somebody needs to hear that God loves you so much. Maybe you sitting at home right now, you need to hear that God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And you're just kind of standing on the edge of that slide. And you know that it's going to be okay, right? You're here. Step one, you turned on the live stream. You're in the room. But then the enemy, and he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. The Bible says that. He tries to remind you of something else. And you just kind of back off, and the service ends, and you start thinking about what you're going to do for lunch. What if today was the day, though, that you stood at the edge and you said, I'm going in? I told you a minute ago, elementary principles, there's none here because the fullness of time has come. And so if you come to somebody in the front, or if you text Jesus to 57555, and that'll be on the screen in just a second, as you do those things, there's no pop quiz that we're going to give you. No biblical knowledge that we're going to ask you about. If you say, hey, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior, man, we would love to help you navigate that. And there is truly no better gift to have than that opportunity to step into the fullness of what God has for you. And so what I would ask you, if you're standing on the edge, or maybe you hadn't even stood up to go, would you just consider all of the good that God has for you? You're breathing in the room, right? If you're still drawing breath in this place, that means that God has a plan for you. That means there is still more for you. And hey, those of you that know Him, our job's not done either. As a matter of fact, it's only really just beginning. Because you're an heir, you're an owner. And there's a responsibility that you and that I have to share all of the good things that God has done for us and that God can do for those around us. Come on, you just finished your family vacations, and so that may be an aunt or an uncle or a sibling or a parent even for some of you, and you know that you might need to pick up the phone this week. You might say, hey, you know, we spent a lot of time together and it was fun, or maybe it wasn't, and you still say that, by the way. And you say, but hey, there's something I didn't share with you. I need to share about the hope of Jesus. For some of you, you go back to work tomorrow. For some of you, you go back to school in the next few days. And there are people that God is going to put right in your sphere of influence and give you an opportunity to share about the hope that Jesus has for you and has for me, and that he can have for others, because the fullness of time has come and the perfect gift that God has given us, it doesn't need a receipt. It's non-refundable. When you receive it, it's yours. But don't just hold on to it yourself. Deliver it to somebody else. If you need to trust Christ today, we're going to have friends down front here in just a minute that would love to talk to you online. Like I said a second ago, you can text Jesus to 57555. We have people standing by waiting to have conversations with you about next steps. We would love to navigate those with you. Can we pray together and let's worship just a little bit? Father, we do trust you in this room. God, for those, some in the room, that's been for a very, very long time that we've trusted you. God, we believe you. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, and we've put our faith in you. And so, Father, if we've done that, would you give us an urgency in this place to take what you have given us and share it with everybody that we come into contact with, to have an urgency in our heart that every time that we wake up, Father, that you have given us an opportunity to share about the hope that we have in Jesus. Father, but for those that don't know you, God, I beg that it changes today. All sorts of spectrum in those people today, God. Father, for those that don't know you, God, there's some that are standing right there on the edge and they know what's next. And they know that they should, but for whatever reason, maybe they've been thinking, hey, today's the day for months. God, would you solidify in their heart today that today is the day? And God, I pray for those that maybe that's not even a blip on the radar right now. Would you just stir a little bit in their spirit right now to know that, hey, not only do we love them as a family, but God, you love them so much more than we ever could. God, you are good and we trust you. We pray that you move in this place. We pray that you move in our hearts. We thank you for Jesus, and it's because of him we pray these things. Amen.